Welcome to Month 1, Week 1 of the School of the Holy Spirit. My name is Brendan Case, and I'll be taking you through the School of the Holy Spirit. And the goals of the School of the Holy Spirit are this. Number one is we want to come to a deep personal relationship with the Holy Spirit. And we want to experience what Jesus called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We're going to learn in this school how to move in the gifts of the Spirit, and we're also going to learn how to live a life in the Holy Spirit through personal and communal prayer. And lastly, we want to learn to live and move in the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. That's pretty exciting, isn't it? That we're going to have these goals, and I want you to know that by the time we come to the end of the School of the Holy Spirit, you're going to be able to look back and say, wow, I have a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit. I've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, and I move in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, but above everything, I am really living in the presence of the Holy Spirit. Now, this week's theme in the School of the Holy Spirit is that the Holy Spirit is our constant, abiding companion. And every week in this school, we're going to have a focus scripture. Now, this focus scripture, you'll always find on your worksheet at the top right-hand corner of the worksheet. And I want to encourage you with the focus scripture to read over it, to look it up in your Bible, and then also to begin to memorize it, get to know it really well, and to pray on it so it really becomes part of your spirit. This week's focus scripture is from John 14:16-18. John 14:16-18. The Word of God proclaims, this is the Lord Jesus speaking, and he says, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. And in verse 18, I will not leave you desolate. Or another translation says, I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. And let's right now, let's take a look at this, John 14:16. John 14:16. Lord Jesus says this, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. Now, in some translations, that word counselor is translated as advocate or helper. In the Greek, the word is parakletos, parakletos, P-A-R-A-K-L-E-T-O-S, parakletos. In Greek, it literally means one who comes alongside to help. So here's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's about to die on the cross. And what is his concern? That you and I would not be alone, that we would not be orphaned. Imagine being the apostles and spending all those years with the Lord Jesus Christ, 3 years with the Lord Jesus, and he's going to die. That right there is a shock in and of itself, that he's going to die. And then you might think, well, there's a consolation. Jesus rose from the dead. But then Jesus rises from the dead, and 40 days later, he ascends into heaven. They had this all laid out before them, but that still could feel like, wow, Jesus, we spent this time with you, and now you're going to leave us? We don't want you to leave, Lord. And that was the reaction of the apostles. But this is what the Lord Jesus is saying here, is listen, I'm not going to leave you orphaned. I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm not going to leave you desolate. I am going to send you another one who comes alongside and helps you. Just as Lord Jesus is saying is, just as you've been intimate with me, I want you to know that there's somebody else that's coming that you can have that same level of intimacy with. Now, I want to encourage you as a believer to stop and think. Do you have a level of intimacy with the Holy Spirit? Now, notice here that Jesus says he's going to send another parakletos, another one that comes alongside to help, to be a counselor, to be a help, to be an aid, to be your advocate. I'm going to send you another one. Who is the first parakletos? If there's another one, you know, if there's another coming, well, there's got to be one that came before. So who's the first parakletos? The first one that came alongside and helped us was the Lord Jesus Christ. He came alongside and he helped the apostles. And as we said, imagine those apostles for 3 years being with the Lord Jesus, having them there every single moment in their life. And Jesus came along to help them with their relationships. Jesus came alongside to help them overcome their sin. Jesus came alongside to help them with their faith. Jesus came alongside them, and he was involved intimately in their life. This is what a parakletos is. It's somebody that's, he comes alongside to help you, but he comes alongside to be intimately involved in your life. And I've got to believe, just given the character of Jesus Christ, knowing Jesus Christ, I've got to believe that he was intimately involved in the disciples' life. I've got to believe that when they were sitting around their fire, when they were out fishing, you know, when you're out fishing, I don't know if you've ever been fishing before, but there's some great conversations. When you're sitting in a boat, there's some great conversations that happen. Now, looking at Jesus, one of the things that I have found about the Lord Jesus Christ is that he wasn't always doing God stuff. I think we always just assume that because he's Jesus and he is God, that he's always doing God stuff. But take a look at the life of Christ. A lot of times Jesus isn't doing that God stuff, whatever that God stuff is, but he's doing simple human things. Jesus is going to somebody's house to eat. I love that story about the Lord Jesus, and he's walking along one day. The crowds are surrounding him. And you remember the story about Zacchaeus? Zacchaeus, it says, was short. He wasn't a tall guy. So Zacchaeus climbs up into the tree. Remember this story? He climbs up in the tree so that he can see Jesus, right? And Jesus sees Zacchaeus. It's not about Zacchaeus seeing Jesus. It's about Jesus seeing Zacchaeus. And what does Jesus say? Does he say, Zacchaeus, I want to give you a great teaching about God. I want to teach you how to worship God. I want to teach you how to love people that you don't love. I want to teach you all this stuff. And by the way, Zacchaeus, you have ripped off people like crazy. So Jesus, I want to teach you about, I want to talk to you about the people you've ripped off. You know, Jesus doesn't do any of that stuff. Don't you think that would be the God stuff to do? I mean, this guy has really sinned. He's stolen from people big time and made their life difficult. And God cares about that type of stuff. Don't you think that Jesus should have done something godly like, Zacchaeus, come down. I want to talk about your sins right in front of everybody. But that's not what he does. Jesus just says, Zacchaeus, come down. I want to go to your house and eat. See, Jesus was intimately involved in the lives of the apostles. And I really believe that he came alongside to help them, yes, to start the church. But you know what? He came alongside to help them in every way in their life. And Jesus says in John 14:16 that the Holy Spirit has given by the Father to come alongside and help you with that same level of intimacy, that same level of concern. Do you know, the apostles had Jesus, and we have the Holy Spirit. Now, which of us got the better end of the stick? We both got blessed. The apostles were blessed to be walking with the Lord Jesus Christ, but you're no less blessed in having the Holy Spirit. As a matter of fact, there could be an argument made that we're actually closer to God now than the apostles were. And what do I mean by that? You see, when the Lord Jesus was on this earth, there were times when he wasn't with the apostles. Now, you think of Jesus being with the apostles all the time, right? But there are stories in Scripture where Jesus and the apostles are in two different places. For example, in Matthew 14:22 through 23, we read the story about how Jesus tells the apostles to cross over to the other side of the lake, and that he stays on that side of the lake and he prays. And they go off to the other side of the lake. Well, they're in the middle of the lake and there's a storm. Remember the story? There's a storm, and they're fearful that they're going to go down. And they look out, and there's Jesus, and he's walking on the water. And he comes, and he stills the storm. Do you remember this story? Okay, so let's trace it out as it is. We've got Jesus, who says the apostles, go to the other side of the lake. He stays, and they leave. And they get themselves in the midst of a pretty hairy situation, a storm. Lord Jesus does come, and he helps them. But there was a moment when Jesus wasn't there. There was a moment when it was scary. There was a moment when they were alone. And then there was a moment when Jesus calmed the storm. Okay, so here's what I'm talking about. For the apostles, there were times when Jesus wasn't there. But not so with the Holy Spirit. Not so, because Lord Jesus said this, we read this, that the Lord Jesus said in John chapter 14, remember John 14, 16, he says, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you the Counselor to be with you forever. The Holy Spirit is our constant abiding companion. There's never a moment that he's not with you. He is there forever to be with you. And you know what? He also indwells you. The apostles, when you think about it, the apostles, they had, there was Jesus over there, and here's me, the apostle. There's Jesus, here's me. There is a distance. But the Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus Christ says, again, go back and read that, John 14, that he will be in you. See, the Holy Spirit is constant. He's our constant abiding companion. He's always there with us. There's not a moment that the Spirit of God is not with you. He's constantly with you. And he dwells within you. Let's take a look at Psalm 139. Psalm 139. Open up your Bible to Psalm 139, and we're going to start in verse 1. It says, O Lord, you have searched me and you've known me. You know when I sit and when I rise up, you discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down, and you are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, O Lord, you know it completely. You hem me in. Behind and before, you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is so high that I can't attain it. Where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? We're in verse 8 now. If I ascend to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take wings of the morning and settle at the farthest limits of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me fast. Verse 11. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light surround me and become night, even darkness is not dark to you. The night is as bright as day. The darkness is as light to you. Psalm 139. Here we have this beautiful truth that God is constantly with us, but specifically the Holy Spirit. You know, St. Augustine says this. St. Augustine said, he spoke the truth when he said that the Spirit of God is closer to us. Hear this. The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, is closer to us than we are to our own breath. Wow. Talking about a constant abiding companion. The Holy Spirit is constantly with you, and he abides within you. Psalm 139 says, you hem me in behind and before. Where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? Listen to this. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. Amen to that. Such knowledge that the God is with you. It's just too wonderful. You can't escape the loving presence of the Holy Spirit. There's no place you can go. Because of baptism, the Holy Spirit is with you and in you. And you know what? Psalm 139. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. The Holy Spirit is your constant abiding companion. Amen? The Holy Spirit is intimately close to you. In John 20, verse 22, we read that the Lord Jesus comes to the apostles after the resurrection, and he said, and when he said this to them, he breathed on them. When he said, peace be with you, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Jesus breathed on the apostles. When you breathe on something, there's a closeness, there's an intimacy. The Holy Spirit is intimately close to you. He's your constant, abiding companion. He is with you. In the Word of God, it says that the Holy Spirit indwells us. You know, it says there that the Holy Spirit hems us in behind and before. You know, St. Patrick's breastplate is so beautiful that, you know, Christ be before me, Christ be behind me, Christ be above me, Christ be below me. You know, we are hemmed in by the presence of God. And the Word of God proclaims that the Holy Spirit indwells you. Jesus said, he said in John 14, did he not say that he will be with you and he will be in you? He will be in you. And in 1 Corinthians 3:16-17, it says, Do you not know that you are God's temple and God dwells in you? If one destroys God's temple, God will destroy him, for God's temple is holy, and that temple you are. Sorry, I was goofing up a little bit on my reading there, but you're the temple of God. God the Holy Spirit has chosen you as his temple. He's not chosen some marble edifice or a gold-laden structure. He's chosen you to be his habitation. He's your constant abiding companion. Really, really, when it comes down to it, the truth be told, when you pray, you don't need to look up to heaven. You don't need, you know, when we pray, we naturally look up to heaven. And please hear me in context here. Of course, look up to heaven because God is everywhere. But you know another place you can look is when you pray, another thing you can do is close your eyes and simply bend your head to your heart. Because you are the temple of God. The Holy Spirit indwells you. The Holy Spirit is your constant abiding companion. He's there. He's there as the Spirit to help you with all things. He's your companion. He's there to help you with your family and your relationships. Don't you think that God's concerned about that? Don't you think that God knows exactly how you should love that child that is just really difficult to love? And maybe you're in a difficult marriage, or maybe your relationship with your parents is in a rough place. You know what? I've got good news for you. He is the Paracletos, the one that comes alongside to help. He's always there for you, and he indwells you, and he's there to help you with your family. He's there to help you with your decisions. You know, a lot of times I think that we believe that when it comes to making decisions, when we have to figure out God's will, that it's good luck. Really, good luck to figure out God's will. Really? Does God really want it to be that way? That he wants you to do his will, but he wants to make it difficult for you to figure it out? I can't believe that would be a loving father. And it's not the truth. Guess what? He so wants to help you in your decisions that he's given you a person to be with you to help you that knows the way, the Holy Spirit. He's there to help you with your finances. I want you to know this, that God cares about the practical things in your life. He's there to help you with weaknesses that you're facing. You might say, oh my gosh, I don't know how to overcome this sin. Well, I know exactly the person that can help you. He can help you with your finances. He can do all of that stuff. He is there to help you. And the primary work of the Holy Spirit, though, is to make you like Christ. To make you like Christ, and secondly, to move you like Christ. And we're going to study about this in our study. He's our constant abiding companion, that his first work is to make you like Christ. If you're listening to this right now and you're going, this is too wonderful, this is too good, and I want that intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit, then be assured that it's yours. You can have it. You know, Holy Father of Blessed Memory was once asked by a reporter, Holy Father, when do you pray? What do you ask of God? And this is what he said. He said, I ask for more of the Holy Spirit. So I want to encourage you now that, you know, according to Luke 11:9-13, where it's that ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find. You know what Jesus says there? How much more the Father will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask. I want to encourage you to begin to start praying and asking for more of the Holy Spirit. Now, next week, we're going to get together and we're going to talk about that the Holy Spirit is a divine person. You've got a study guide that you need to do for this week, a worksheet. I hope you do that, and I hope you start meditating on the daily scriptures we've given you. Thanks for giving me this opportunity to share the Word of God with you. God bless you. In Jesus' name, amen.